Take your Bibles and turn this evening to Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you for being a friend, Susie, to my wife. She was getting lonely. I was like, I've got to find a friend to her there. And good to see several of our young people. Preston, Lane, good to see you guys there. Is that your dad? Yeah, I'd like to meet you afterwards. Shake your hand. I've met the boys. They've been a good representation of your family. So they've been visiting the last few Wednesdays here. Good to see so many of you here tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, as you're turning there, I would like to thank our pastor for the opportunity to preach this evening. Thank you again to our church family for giving us, the Sigmanis, the privilege to serve here at Worth Baptist Church, and thank you for being your place tonight. When I was in college and in Tennessee for so many years, my pastor would say that the midweek service is the most encouraging service of the week, and boy, do we need encouragement. Amen. How many of you watch the news on a regular basis? That's something you do for fun. How many teenagers watch the news for fun? Yeah, no, we don't really. I don't really do that. If you watch the news at all for fun, you are a discouraging person because there's nothing but bad news on there. I mean, I was just flicking through the channels, getting some sports scores and highlights, and keeping up with Friday night football in Texas a little bit, and there's a lot of schools doing well, and then right after that, it was like bad news, bad news, bad news. I mean, I was going to bed discouraged. And so I'm glad you're here tonight. It is the most encouraging service, and just to be together and sing and worship and pray, it's so encouraging. Hebrews chapter 13, just three verses this evening. Hebrews chapter 13. And thank you, teenagers, for moving willingly. And I just want you to get all that God has for you. Not just in this church service, but in the Christian life that you have. And it's so easy to be distracted and to get lost in the middle of everything. And so we just want you to be here. Many of you know I love you and I care about you, and we want the best for you. Hebrews 13, verse 7. The Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Look at verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Verse 24. "Salute all of them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you." Please mark the phrase that we see mentioned here three different times in three different verses. And that phrase is "them that have the rule over you." We find it in verse 7, verse 17, and verse 24. Would you underline that phrase? That's the title of the message this evening. "Them that have the rule over you." If there's something strange in your neighborhood, if there's something weird and it don't look good, if you're seeing things running through your head, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. A couple weeks back, Pastor made a statement that has stuck with me about this upcoming Sunday. We're calling it First Responder Sunday. He said, and I quote, "Anyone that is willing to put on a bulletproof vest and go into a burning building for me and my family should be honored and recognized." Amen. So that's what we're going to do this coming Sunday. We're going to have some first responders here on property. We'll get a chance to greet them, pray for them, and honor them. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, you call Ghostbusters. If there's a crime, a fire, an emergency, we call 911. And just by way of introduction, I want us to consider this evening the question, what do we do as believers, as Christians, as a church family, when you find out the news that your loved one has been diagnosed with cancer? Who do you call when there's a struggle at home, at work, or with the family? Who do you call when your mom or dad is sick in ICU? For us, it's Pastor Tyler Gillett. I think we should acknowledge, honor, and respect our first responders. as a dad, I've made it a habit. When I see a police officer, especially when my children are with me, I'll stop and greet them. Thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for your service, ma'am. And I make my kids do the same because we do want to honor, acknowledge, and respect those that are saving our lives. But tonight, I believe it's just as important, if not more important, that we acknowledge, honor, and respect those that have the rule over us, like our pastor. If you know anything about our pastor at all, he has no desire to be in the spotlight. He loves to serve. He's been called and answered the call to be the pastor of Worth Baptist Church. He's a shepherd here. What is a shepherd? In a general sense, a shepherd is a keeper of the sheep. A shepherd tends to the sheep. A shepherd feeds the sheep. A shepherd guards the sheep. The pastor cares for the people when they're in sickness. The pastor gives guidance and direction. The pastor provides courage to those who are weak. And our pastor's out of town this week. He's preaching in Florida. And as he was planning his calendar, the pastor asked me several weeks ago that if I would be willing to preach on this Wednesday night. And of course, I can't tell the pastor no. And I had a message prepared for this evening. I was working towards the message that I would bring to our church family, to our young people. And then this morning, really early this morning, I was redirected, Brother Earl, to the message that I heard back when I was in college. I was a sophomore at Crown College. It was a Monday morning chapel service. The exact date was January the 26th, 2004. A long time ago. Some of you are like, I wasn't even born yet. That's for the teenagers. We had just started our second semester of college, and one of my college professors, Scott Pauley, was the preacher that morning for the chapel service. He directed the student body to the passage of scripture that we just read, Hebrews chapter 13. He read those same verses that we just read together, and he asked the student body to underline the phrase that I asked you to underline. And so, when I was thinking about preaching, God redirected my thoughts, and I came back to this passage. The outline is from Scott Pauley, but to be honest, the outline is just from the Word of God. It's found straight from the Word of God. And I had to go back to my Bible, I've got a few, and find the exact notes, because I have a wide margin Bible, and I had written the notes down. I took a picture of it, and I wanted to share it with you guys. And so here's just a picture of my wide margin Bible with the notes from that date, January the 26th, 2004. I reached out to Mr. Pauley today, and I said, "Do you remember what you were doing on Monday, January the 26th, 2004? This is through text message. How would you respond to something like that? Some of you would be like, "I wasn't alive. I don't know, picking my nose, eating a sandwich. What was going on?" And of course, I was asking him that question to see what his response, and he said, "No, please remind me." And he's thinking, "Tony, you're a dummy. I don't remember what happened yesterday." I asked Mr. Pauley's permission. I said, "If you don't mind, I'm going to share your outline with the church." Did you know that this month, the month of October, is Clergy Appreciation Month? The second Sunday of every October is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So as we head to this coming Sunday, I just want to give you three words from Scripture that I want you to remember, not just about our pastor, but about all those that have the rule over us. Look back at verse number 7. Verse number 7, here's the first word. It says, remember. Remember them that have the rule over you. Look at verse 17. Here's the second word. It says, obey. Obey them that have the rule over you. And in verse 24, it says, salute all them that have the rule over you. Let's make the message personal this evening. I think we all want our pastor to be led by the Spirit of God as he studies. Correct? Amen. We want him to be filled with God's anointing when he stands behind this pulpit and preaches, correct? Amen. We desire for our pastor to be compassionate to the lost and to the needy. Amen. That's a good time to say amen. We want him to guide our church to honor Christ. Amen. We want our pastor to live by faith and be engaged in world missions. Amen. We expect our pastor to live above reproach and be an example. And we all say amen, amen to those things. One writer said, pastors are trying to keep their local church moving forward in the face of intense opposition. Pastors are called to feed and lead God's flock, both when things are calm and also during times of spiritual conflict. And here's the emphasis tonight. You need your pastor. But I want to add this. Your pastor needs you. And so the three words to keep in mind as we think about those that have the rule over us, and especially during this month of October and this coming Sunday for Pastor Appreciation Month. By the way, let me just take a quick time out because God knows my heart this evening. I'm not trying to put our pastor on a pedestal. He's just another sinner like you and I, saved by God's grace. He's made from the same type of dirt and mud, so he's no more special than you are. It just so happens that he has red hair and white pasty skin. He says that about himself all the time. The pastor, the biblical pastor, is not building people for himself. The biblical pastor is guiding people to Christ. Amen. And I really believe that our pastor here at Worth Baptist Church is not trying to build Worth Baptist Church and his kingdom here on earth. He's honestly interested in leading people and us, me and my family, to Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? If you'll look back at verse number 8, this is a verse that we have memorized. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Why is he leading us to Christ? Why? Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Pastor Gillett won't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He may not be here. And so, as much as God has given him power and authority, he's trying to lead us to Christ, to follow Christ. One quick word, if you'll circle, in the phrase, in the title of our message, from verse 7 and verse 17 and verse 24. Look at it. It says, them which have the rule. Would you circle that word rule, R-U-L-E? The word rule there has more meaning than just to govern. The word there has the idea of guiding. And I believe a biblical pastor is guiding people to Christ. Let's cover these three words real quick, and then we'll be through for the message this evening. Look back at verse number 7. The first word is remember. Remember them that have the rule over you. The word remember, if you'll circle it like I did in my Bible here, maybe draw a little line just for a reference. The word remember is a word of learning. Before you and I can ever lead, we must learn how to follow. And can I say that to all the teenagers this evening? Before you ever grow up to be any sort of leader, you've got to learn how to follow. So I ask the question, what type of follower are you? If we have several minutes here, we could go to different parts of the Bible and look at analogies and examples of men who needed other men in their life. For example, Timothy needed a Paul. Joshua needed Moses. Elisha needed Elijah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the most disappointing moments I think that I've ever had in my life was I was just talking to Anna. Where's Anna at? Is she in here? Is she helping? Anna, Lisa, where are you? Anna? Sorry. She just had her 18th birthday. If we weren't rushing for time, we'd sing happy birthday. Happy 18th birthday, Anna. I said, how's the 18th birthday? Was it just like another day? She was like, yeah. It's like kind of like disappointing. No, she had a great day. But it made me think of, Anna, my high school graduation, the day after high school graduation. How many of you are seniors graduating? I think we've got several. Several raising their hands. Jack, are you planning on finishing? That's kind of surprising. Yeah, just kidding. Jack, we're pulling for you. I'm not sure what I was expecting after the day of my high school graduation. I had been in high school, or not high school, I had been in school for 13 years. kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. And so maybe this, I don't know, euphoric sense of accomplishment would take place the next day. You know, waking up thinking, here I am. Maybe, you know, just this wealth of knowledge that would just be overflowing, spewing out of me. Nothing. I felt nothing. I was tired. I wanted to sleep in. I looked at my diploma and thought, this is it. It was disappointing. After college, it was about the same, but I kind of had prepared myself because the next day after my college graduation, I said, Tony, you've just learned that you have a lot more to learn. I guess my point is this, our time of learning should never stop. And one of the ways that God teaches us is through them that have the rule over us. We learn from what they say. Look at it, verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The word remember is a word of learning. We learn by those who teach us the word of God. We also learn by their lifestyle. It says here, not only have we do we learn because of the spoken, because they have spoken unto us the word of God. At the end of the verse here, it says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And I just want to say, thank God that we have a pastor at the church is who's teaching us so that we can learn and also is living a life that we can follow as an example. You ought to be thankful for that. So let me give you just maybe as an application tonight. How do we remember those that have the rule over us? Or can I say this? How do we learn from those that have the rule over us? One simple thing. Receive the word of God. Receive the word of God. Now, I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. You are here at church. But you have to come to church. You have to be here if you're going to learn to receive the word of God. Our pastor spends hours and hours studying the word of God, praying and preparing so that you can be helped, so that you can learn. But you're not going to get it. You're not going to receive it if you're not here. So make an effort. I think Sunday school teachers ought to be at church. I think youth workers ought to be at church. I think teenagers ought to be at church to hear and listen the word of God. I think deacons, I think senior citizens, look, all of us. I think staff members, Brother Earl, we ought to be here sitting, ready, listening, ready to learn the word of God. Hey, bring your Bibles. That's how you receive the word of God. Our teenagers know they make it a habit. I saw Michael somewhere. Michael Martinez, where you at, Michael? Wave at me there. Look, I remember I'm picking on Michael a little bit here. We love him. And I remember, Mike, when you first started coming to church, and he's just got his cell phone out 24-7. And the other day, he was at church, he didn't have his cell phone out once, because we're talking about it. We want him to have the Bible, open the Bible, and to be ready to receive the word of God, bring the word of God with you. That's why I'm against cell phones as Bibles. Now, I used it this morning, listening to the word of God. But when you're at church, avoid the distractions, bring your Bibles, be ready to receive the word of God. Look, have a journal, like Hannah Schumann. Taking notes. I'm not sure if she's paying attention or drawing, but she looks like she's hearing with me. So let's eliminate distractions. Let's eliminate interruptions. And if you really are going to remember them that have the rule over you, this word of learning, you've got to receive the word of God. Number two, look at verse number 17. Here's our second word. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. This word here is a word of substitution. I'm sorry, it's a word of submission. So you have remembering, which is a word of learning. Now we have obeying, which is a word of submission. I learned a long time ago that there is safety in submission. I wish every teenager would hear me out. Maybe you've gotten everything already. Look, young people, there is safety in submission. As a parent, before our children crosses the road, we tell them to do what? Yeah, look both ways. Right? How many parents, we're taking a quick survey, how many parents have grabbed your son or your daughter or another child by the arm or maybe by the neck in a headlock, pulling them back so they wouldn't get hit by a car? Have you done that before? Okay, I'm not the only one. And I still do it. You know, my kids, 11, 9, 7, you know, the 2-year-old gets away with it. But the other three, like, we keep on telling you the same thing. You're going to die. We're pulling them back. If you have your driver's license and you roll up to a stop sign, before you cross the road to the other side, without hesitation, if you're a decent driver, you're looking left and right. We have learned that important aspect years ago from a driver's ed teacher. Look, I'm glad that you learned that principle. Others are glad. Why? Because we wouldn't be hit by you. The importance of learning to submit. Safety in submission. And when we find the word here, obey them that have the rule over you, it's very important that we all submit to those that are in authority above us. I love what Mr. Pauly said, and I wrote this in my Bible. It's not so much about value. It has everything to do with order. And there needs to be an order in our lives. Several things about submission from this verse. Number one, we ought to submit for their sake. Look at it, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with, what's the word? Joy. Hey, you ought to submit for their sake. You ought to submit for your own sake. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is what? Unprofitable for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we are to submit for their sake, for our sake. We are to submit just for God's sake. The most dangerous type of rebellion is the quiet and silent type of rebellion. We need to be reminded that the authority that has been placed before us, whether we agree with everything or not, is God ordained. And you and I cannot be right with God and wrong with them that have the rule over us. And it goes to politics and government officials and everything. We're dealing it with our kids. We send them to a school, and they've got teachers. And look, we don't cross all our T's and dot our I's, but we are going to support and respect the teacher because we're teaching our children. Rachel and I have been involved in the lives of young people for 15-plus years. And I think one of the biggest problems I see with young people across the board is just their unwillingness to submit. And if I could just say this, excuse me, the problem with us old folks is that we are not willing to submit. The Bible says to obey them that have the rule over you. So number one, class, remember them that have the rule over you. The word remember is a word of learning. Number two, obey them that have the rule over you. The word obey, the word has to do with submission. And the last word, look at verse number 24. It says, salute all them that have the rule over you. Salute all of them. By the way, let me just give a quick application to obeying and submitting. Because maybe you're asking, well, how in the world do I obey them? How do I submit? We talked about receiving the word of God, but then you ought to respond to the word of God. When the pastor's preaching, God's working in your life and your heart, respond to an invitation. That's how you kind of submit to what the Spirit of God is talking to you about. Look, you don't not just submit by responding, but just relaying it to others. I mean, we've got this big Sunday coming up, First Responder Sunday. That's great. And then the next Sunday, brother, what is it called? Harvest Sunday. We've got a pumpkin for all the families. And the following Sunday is the big Sunday. Bounce Houses, Spring Creek. We want you to invite your neighbors and friends and coworkers and family to be here. But that's one way that you kind of submit to them that have the rule over you. By relaying what you've been given and asking someone else to join in. So, and when they come, I was just talking to Brother Earl about this. We just had a staff member. I don't think I mentioned the story to you. We had, not a staff member, we had a church member who had been praying for a co-worker and witnessing to a co-worker. How many think those things are a good thing? Right? Yeah, that's good. You ought to witness, you ought to have a good testimony. And also, this church member was inviting their co-worker to church here. But they never came. Well, you won't believe it, Brother Earl. That co-worker came. Like, it was a shock and surprise. And so, don't be shocked and surprised if you got like the right witness and testimony and you talk to people and you invite them to church and they do show up. Who knows what God is doing on the other end? Well, this co-worker comes. I'm excited. Well, I missed him. Yeah. And so I asked the church member, I said, I'm sorry I missed them. I'm giving excuses, you know, playing with the teenagers, beating, you know, kids in ping pong and air hockey. I don't know, you know, what youth pastors do. I said, man, I hope to sometime catch him. But then I said, did you make sure that Earl Sides, Brother Earl, met him? No, I couldn't find him. Like, you have to introduce people to Earl Sides. And I said, okay, forget it. Maybe Brother Earl was beating kids in ping pong and foosball and air hockey too. But I said, why did you take the time to introduce your coworker friend to pastor? No, he just looked too busy. And I want to tell you, pastor is not too busy to meet your friend. You need to make the effort. I need to make the effort. No matter what's going on, just ask him, hey, do you have 3 minutes? I know that our pastor would love to meet such and such. That's part of submitting. Yes, you receive the word of God. That's part of learning. But then when you respond and relay, that's part of submitting to them that have the rule over you. Verse number 24, salute all of them that have the rule over you. And the word salute here is a word of encouragement. It's a word of appreciation. Would you circle that word salute there, draw a line, and write the word of encouragement, the word of appreciation. Is Cheyenne here this morning? Cheyenne? She's back. Oh, yeah, she's embraced grace. I didn't know if she just comes to work and then leaves to come to church. John, her husband's here. Cheyenne told me this week, John, that her chemistry teacher, I'm not sure what we were talking about, but we were going through the office there. She said, my chemistry teacher, I guess that no one liked or she was mean. She told the class, life is hard, then you die. I don't know much about chemistry, but there's got to be a better way to teach that class. That's discouraging. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look, it's good for everyone, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, to receive words of encouragement. And I don't pretend to know what it's like to be the pastor of a church. I have been blessed to be part of youth ministry in local churches for a long time now. And I do know this, Brother Earl, you're really old, 58, is that right? Look, ministry's not easy. People can be mean sometimes. It probably would shock you. I don't know how many we have at our church here Sunday morning. It would probably just shock you how many church members don't speak to our pastor. And the only time they would ever try to talk to our pastor is when there's something wrong. Can I just share a few things here? Hey, Mr. Tony. I just wanted to give you these cookies and the note to show my appreciation toward all that you've done for me personally. Your messages and the teen outings have been a real encouragement toward me, and I know you do so much more for the rest of the youth group. I'll make sure to keep in contact. A former teenager. This is to Pastor Gillett, Worth Baptist Church. Pastor passed a note to me, and I've kept it. Thank you very much for honoring and supporting ODY at high school. Your prayers are effective and very much appreciated. It's easy to see that Worth Baptist is a Jesus-loving, fruit-bearing church. Really enjoyed the sermon, the music, and the sweetness of the church members. Exclamation point. Thanks so much for the beautiful lunch and the gift certificate. Just another handwritten note here. Tony and Rachel, what a blessing Sunday night, youth night. We believe that was one of the best youth nights ever. The music and the messages were inspiring. We love and appreciate both of you so much. Thank you for all you do and for our youth and for all of us. Love, Frank and Lakita. This one just says, thank you, Mr. Tony. Landon Nelson. I needed that, Brother Earl. It was a sticker of Captain America. A word of encouragement. Brother Tony, I immediately thought of you, my mom, and my dad, so I just wanted to thank you for impacting my life and making everything enjoyable and instructing me to the right path. You're always so fun and understanding and blah, 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 blah that they just made up. From a church member, Brother Tony, Miss Rachel, I just want to take a minute to let you know how much the names, we appreciate the work you've been doing with our young people. With society continuing to drive our youth away from church and God, It is imperative that they still have an opportunity to hear the truth and have a place where they can come and see and feel the love of Christ. Thank you for the testimonies. And the letter goes on. Thank you so much for your example as parents. Your family's a blessing. This is from one of the kids a while back. Best friends forever, Mr. Tony. Some pictures. I love you. Probably a heartfelt note that I can't read. Some stick figures. Surely I look better than that. This is back when we were in COVID. Thanks for doing kids time, Mr. Tony. Here's some jokes for you. How long does it take for a person to fly to Chicago? People can't fly. Why did the pony need a cough drop? He was a little horse. Ha, ha, ha. Some pictures, a puzzle to unscramble. And I've got more cards here I could read and share from teenagers, from parents. And I brought a stack of discouraging emails. You want me to read those? I'm not going to. Look, our tongue is a very powerful tool. And the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And as we think about saluting them that have the rule over us, it's important that we take the time to speak a good word to all those that have the rule over us. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good. Teenagers like, we sing that song together. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a medical degree. I don't even like going to the doctor. I don't even take Tylenol. I'm against all of it. I'm not taking any shots. I need to go to the dentist. I don't pretend anything, okay? But I know our pastor's been sick physically. He hasn't complained about it. We've been praying for him. And I don't know what kind of prescription and what has to take place, but I just believe that maybe a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It'd do us a lot of good just to encourage our pastor. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Amen. Someone had said this, kind words do not cost much, but yet they accomplish much. Perhaps you will forget tomorrow the kind words you say today, but the recipient may cherish those words over a lifetime. Let me give a quick application. We're through. All right. How do we salute? How do we show gratitude? Let me give you just a couple things here. Number one, talk to the pastor. Talk to the pastor regularly. You don't have to set up an appointment with the church secretaries. I'm just saying, don't rush out Sunday morning trying to get to the restaurant. But would you just make an effort to shake the pastor's hand with a smile and say, thank you for the message. Been praying for you. How's this going on? What do you think about the Cowboys? Just having a small talk. By the way, a small talk's good. Some of you are like, you're always wanting to share your life story. We don't want to hear your life story every time. All right, I'm just being honest. All right, let's just throw it out there. But take the time to talk to the pastor. If I were to get you to bow your head and close your eyes, and I were to ask, in the last 7 days, how many of you have taken the time to talk to the pastor? How many hands would go up? Talk to him regularly. Number two, I've got all these notes. Write a handwritten note. I repeat, a note. It doesn't have to be a book, but just something positive and specific, showing gratitude. Write. Take time to write a note. All right? Pastor gets enough hate email from everyone. All right? So take the time to write a note. Encourage his family. You may be surprised, you know, but look, Will, where's Will at? Yeah, I've been picking on Will. Brother Greg and I, that's like our call at Worth Baptist Church. So Will, for the next, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years in the youth department, you may try to get out earlier. But Brother Greg and I are going to, like, it's our call to make sure that you're straight and right, you know. We at times, Will's, you know, we have to correct him. But I think Will knows we love you, Will. You know that? You know Brother Greg loves you? Yeah, he's like, I think so, as he's twitching a little bit there. I encourage his family, all right? Be kind to Anna, Miss Tori, and pray that God will place a hedge of protection around them. Let's just close this evening. So the three words, class, remember, obey, salute. It's a word of learning, a word of submission, a word of encouragement. But let me give you just one more word. Do you have your Bibles there still? Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 18. What's the best way to remember, to obey, and to salute? What's the best way to learn and to submit and to encourage? Go back to verse number 18. And the one word that we find is in that first phrase. The writer says, pray. Pray for us. And this word, class, is a word of intercession. If we would just first learn to pray for all those that have the rule over us, we'll be less likely to complain, but also we'll understand to remember, to obey, and to salute. Mr. Pauley gave the quote I wrote in my Bible, the best way to have a good attitude towards spiritual leadership is to pray for them. You cannot criticize while you're praying. Let's all stand together and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you personally for all the spiritual men and women, spiritual leaders that you've put in my life to encourage me, to correct me, to challenge me, and that have loved me. Thank you for men like Harold Blankenship and Tony Bazin and Doug Lance and Hub Chris and Clarence Sexton and Scott Pauley and Dwayne Hickman and so many more teachers and coaches that you've used to impact my life. And now I just, as I'm speaking to our church family, I just want to pray publicly for our pastor, my friend, my boss, my pastor. And I pray that God, you would help us as a church family to learn, to be willing to learn, to submit, and to encourage him. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to have just a quick time of invitation here. Miss Madeline's going to play something. Brother Corey's going to sing a verse. But if God has spoken to your heart tonight, would you respond accordingly? Maybe would you just come and pray for your pastor? Pray for his health, yes. Pray for his family. Maybe you just need to recommit. God, help me to encourage the people in my life. Not even just my pastor, but there's a boss that you work for that you're not getting along with. Teenager, maybe there's a parent, those that have the rule over you. This covers a wide range. Recommit. Some of you need to take time and write a note to encourage the people that God has used and is using in your life. Maybe you need to come tonight and just thank God for a godly church. And I'm so thrilled to see Dr. Weaver, Dr. Barber, Pastor Gillett, and I enjoy giving them hugs and talking to them. I mean, God's been good to us. You ought to be thankful for that. Maybe you ought to just come and thank God. If you're here this evening and you're not sure that heaven's your home, maybe you've got questions. We've got some workers here at the front that love to take a Bible and show you how you could be saved. Maybe you've got questions about baptism or church membership. See one of our workers up front here. They love to talk to you.